Hello there and welcome to your Newsmax Daily for Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, the 73rd day of the year. It is the 11th Wednesday, and since it is Wednesday and not Friday, no one is really going to care that it's the 13th. People are only freaked out by Friday the 13th for some reason. Maybe it's the movie. I don't know, but it's still the 13th. So heads up, be careful out there. It's also the 29th day of Lent for Christians, the fourth day of Ramadan for Muslims. Topping the headlines, it looks like the Trump-Biden rematch is official. After the former president and president both won all of their respective parties' primaries on Tuesday, Hawaii also had a Republican caucus yesterday, which Donald Trump won, clinching the Republican Party's 2024 presidential nomination. It was actually the primary in Washington state that put him over the top. Trump posting a video overnight saying that he's staying focused on November 5th.
We're not going to take time to celebrate. We'll celebrate in 8 months when the election is over.
And in a post on X, President Biden or Corinne Jean-Pierre, whoever does the posting for the president, for the POTUS account, called it a time for choosing. After meetings at the White House yesterday, the president will be hitting the road again today for a campaign event, this one in Milwaukee. And a group of Democrats, more than a dozen, voted with House Republicans yesterday condemning Biden's immigration policies, which I'll get to in a little bit. But the big story, of course, is the testimony of Special Counsel Robert Hur, now the former Special Counsel in the Biden classified documents case. Let's start with Carl Higbee, host of Frontline on Newsmax.
Look, I could have done Hur's entire report in like a text message, maybe an email. Biden had classified information when he did not have the power to declassify, possess, or share it. And then I would list all the people who have been recently prosecuted for this. How about former U.S. National Security Advisor Sandy Berger? Remove 5 copies of a classified document from the National Archives. Check this out. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Benjamin Pierce Bishop, arrested in Hawaii and charged with 1 count of unlawfully retaining documents. He was then sentenced to more than 7 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release after that. Retired U.S. Army General David Petraeus, a former CIA director. He pled guilty to 1 count of unauthorized removal and retention of one document. Oh, and what about the guy that took the picture? This dude took a picture inside of a submarine with a friend of his, and there was a piece of classified equipment behind him, and he got ruined that guy's life for that. That would have been the end of my report. I'm not a lawyer, but what's more concerning is Biden's blatant lies around this report before it came out. Remember this?
There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business.
But it turns out Hur never actually asked Biden about his son, Beau, at all. It was Joe Biden who brought that up in the interview with Hur. This is from the transcript. Biden was asked, quote, "So during this time when you were living at Chain Bridge Road and there were documents relating to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden Institute or the Cancer Moonshot or your book, where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working on?" Biden then said, transcript again, quote, "This is what, 2017, 2018, that area? And so what was happening, though? What month did Beau die? Oh, God, May 30th? Now, a White House lawyer, according to the transcript again, who was there, jumped in and said 2015. Said, was it 2015 that he died, Biden said. Wow. It's amazing. He wasn't asked that at all. Matt Gaetz also made 2 excellent points today about these lies.
The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right?
People might say, yes, normal people do call that a lie. So not only did Joe Biden break the law, he lied about it again and again and again. And what I find rich about this whole thing is that nearly every Democrat made this about Trump.
The hearing started with House Republicans showing President Biden's news conference last month in response to HERS report. You know, the one that said no charges based on a jury seeing him as an elderly, confused man. The sole purpose of the hearing, right? That's why they're having the hearing, because of HERS report. But House Democrats then showed a produced video, a bunch of Trump clips put together, you know, a montage, if you will, of Trump making some mental slip-ups for whatever reason, completely irrelevant to the purpose of the hearing. Back to Carl.
I'm not particularly thrilled about HERS lack of charges to Joe Biden, and based on his testimony today, I think this guy took the easy way out, like every other bureaucrat and swamp monster. Just do nothing. Just do the least you can. All talk, no action. That standard applies to seemingly everybody but Trump.
That's Carl Higbee. He's the host of Frontline, weekday afternoons, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. If you like Congressman Matt Gaetz questioning, this is Congressman Jim Jordan, chair of the House Judiciary Committee.
I think this is interesting. Because here's the scary part. Page 200. I said this earlier in my opening statement. Page 200. Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Herr, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly
Mr. Biden,
what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
The very guy who was helping Joe Biden get the $8 million, $8 million Joe Biden used, the motive for Joe Biden to disclose classified information, to retain classified information, which he definitely knew was against the law. When you get named special counsel, what's that guy do? He destroys the evidence. That's the key takeaway in my mind.
After the hearing, Congressman Jordan spoke with Eric Bolling on The Balance.
You know, it's amazing how this case has nothing to do with the former president at all. But as they typically do, Democrats were quick to pull the Trump card when they ran out of ways to defend their own big guy, Mr. 10%. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan rejoins us right now. Congressman, very good. Thank you for spending so much time with us. Jamie Raskin, Eric Swalwell. It was one thing after, and Trump. Like we said in the last segment, I'll bet you Trump's name was uttered more by Democrats than Biden. Go ahead.
Yeah, and to Mr. Raskin, he said that there are allegations that someone may have destroyed documents relative to President Trump. Those are allegations. We know for certain that the guy who was writing Joe Biden's book, that he was getting paid $8 million, that a special counsel Herr said was the motivation for Joe Biden to ignore the processes and procedures on protecting classified documents. We know that ghostwriter destroyed the evidence on his laptop. That is truly, if there's not obstruction of justice, I don't know what
not
it is,
until,
but he doesn't get charged.
Not until he realized that there was a special counsel,
exactly,
Robert Herr, on the
case.
He had those things, and he shot him over to however they burn him now, when he found out there's going to be an investigation.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to talk about, quote, allegations against President Trump by the most partisan Jack Smith, who's been overturned by the Supreme Court in another investigation he did 9-0, for goodness sake. So they're talking about that versus what happened here, where the book writer, the ghost writer, destroys evidence and he doesn't get charged.
All right. Very quickly, you're killing it today. You're fantastic. I'm so thrilled that you're chairman of that committee.
Eric Bolling with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, chair of the House Judiciary Committee. And here is some more from the hearing.
Mr. Herr, how would you define willful?
With respect to the intent of willfulness, what a jury has to conclude is that someone knew that their conduct was illegal when they engaged in that conduct.
Right. It's intentional, right? It's not by accident. It's not accidental or involuntary.
Correct.
Okay. So here's where I disagree with your portion of the report on willful, is that you have a gentleman who served 36 years in the Senate.
I've only been here a year, but I understand the importance of handling classified information. He served 8 years as vice president. In 2010, it came to the attention of the vice president's staff that classified briefing books had not been returned. Even if they were returned, some of the content was missing. The same year, the executive secretary raised that nearly 30 of the classified briefing books from the first 6 months of 2010 were missing. In August of that year, then Vice President Biden failed to return top secret, sensitive compartmented information contents of a classified briefing book from a trip that he took to the Hamptons. And to date, you were unable to determine if these documents were ever recovered. Is that correct?
Correct.
So to me, this wasn't, when does willfulness when does willfulness factor in? Is it now in his diminished mental capacity, or is it then when he was serving as senator and vice president?
A jury would be assessing President Biden's mental state and his intent, or whether or not he had willfulness, at the time that the conduct was committed.
Correct. And I think everyone can kind of plainly see the transgression or the difference between then candidate Biden or Vice President Biden and what is going on now. And so this is where I go to it. As the chairman talked about in his opening comments, he had 8 million reasons to hold these documents. In fact, he disclosed some of this information to his ghostwriter. And so I think that there could have been willfulness. And I think, you know, I've got 10 seconds left. But look, since 2016, there have been three candidates to run for president. All three have had allegations of issues surrounding the retention and holding of classified documents. But Mr. Herr, only one of them has been charged, and that's President Trump. And that's why people think and view this as a two-tiered system of justice. Thank you, sir.
Wow. That's like a drop the mic moment, as they say, right? From South Carolina Representative Russell Fry on a two-tiered justice system. This is from Wake Up America with co-host Rob Finnerty and special guest Mercedes Schlapp.
Robert Herr decided not to charge Joe Biden for doing the exact same thing that Donald Trump did. But you could argue, certainly, that what Biden did was worse because Biden never had, until January 20th, 2021, Biden never had the ability to declassify. Donald Trump did. He was president of the United States, and therein lies the question.
Well, there's two parts to this. One is, look, the mere fact that Joe Biden had these boxes of documents, some in his garage. I mean, how do you not know that they're in your house, in the garage, or in one of the office spaces where basically they had his offices? I think it's just shocking. He knew very well that these classified documents must have been there, unless, of course, he had poor memory, which is what it sounds like it was. And then, of course, the treatment of Donald Trump, where literally you see this FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago, the sense that the FBI leaked certain photos and certain documents, obviously working with reporters to shape the story. I mean, it clearly shows a difference in how both presidents have been treated when it comes to the classified documents. You are seeing the fact that, at least what I've talked to with legal experts, it doesn't look like any of these cases are going to happen for President Trump before the election. So this will give President Trump an opportunity to be like, let the people decide. I think it's awful what Jack Smith has done, as we know that he's focused on, quote, novel legal ideas in pushing his case. He obviously is looking to take Donald Trump down. And, you know, you've had the Supreme Court having to slow down the process. So we'll see what happens from there.
Mercedes Schlapp on Wake Up America. Jack Smith, let me remind you, is the special counsel in the Trump documents investigation, which all started with the big raid of Donald and Melania's home at Mar-a-Lago. Remember that? And as I said yesterday, Trump is charged with 40 felony charges. A huge FBI raid at the home and 40 felony charges. Also happening on Capitol Hill Tuesday, as I mentioned at the open, and you can read all the details of this at Newsmax.com, but 14 Democrats voted with House Republicans to pass a resolution condemning President Biden's immigration policies. The resolution specifically naming Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, for refusing to use executive action on the border. The resolution introduced by Congresswoman Monica De La Cruz of Texas passed 226 to 193. De La Cruz is a Republican, but Democrats in Texas also launched an advisory group called the Democrats for Border Security Task Force. They have had enough. For more on the border, Texas Senator Ted Cruz sat down with Greta Van Susteren.
Senator, I want to talk about the Biden parole flights. And I just recently learned from them, actually through listening to you, that there are 43 airports in the United States in the year calendar year 2023 that got over 320,000 people dropped in the country. And we don't know who they are. And the government's not telling us their names or anything about it. How does this happen?
Look, it really is astonishing. The news broke that the Biden administration actively flew into this country 320,000 people, illegal immigrants from other countries, flew them into America, didn't just encounter them at the border. You know, the Biden administration likes to say, gosh, we're just facing this wave of migration. No, in this instance, the Biden administration put out an app called CBP1 that they could put online. They wanted to come, and the Biden administration would fly them in. And they're doing it secretly. As you noted, they flew them into 43 airports. They will not answer what airports they're sending them into. So we know the number 43. The only reason this is public is that they were sued under the Freedom of Information Act, and they handed over this information in that lawsuit. But the Biden White House hasn't told the American people who it's brought in. It hasn't told them which airports. It claims that identifying the airports that it's flying illegal immigrants into would somehow undermine national security, which is really ridiculous. And it shows just how far, listen, this is an invasion. It is deliberate. It is designed by Democrats. It is designed by the Biden White House, because they look at, all told, the 10.4 million illegal immigrants who've come into this country. They look at them as future Democrat voters, and they're going so far as literally to fly them from foreign countries to get them here.
Well, I think what is particularly disturbing or distressing is one thing to have them coming in over the border, and I realize that's a sieve, and there's been, you know, lots of problems down at the border. But we're actually, under this program, the Biden administration is going to get them and get, yep, and bring that back in, and they're not telling us about because of something they call the law enforcement exception, which I don't know what that is. There's still something called transparency and democracy. You can't just bring people in and not tell the American people. At least I wouldn't think so.
You certainly would think if the Biden administration were proud of what it was doing, that it'd be willing to answer questions on it, that it would tell the American people. But if it were not for this lawsuit, nobody would know about it. They haven't told Congress about it. You don't see Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House talking about it. You didn't see Joe Biden at the State of the Union saying, we're flying 320,000 illegal immigrants into America to show you just how absurd it is. One of the countries that they were flying flights in was Venezuela. That means, quite literally, the Venezuelan illegal immigrant who murdered Laken Riley. We don't know if Joe Biden literally flew him in from Venezuela. We do know that once he was in custody in El Paso, that the Biden administration paroled him into the population, released him. Had they instead sent him home to Venezuela, Laken Riley would be alive. We also know that that illegal immigrant then went to New York City, was arrested again for endangering the safety of a child. But because New York City is a sanctuary city, they let him go again. Had they put him in jail in New York, Laken Riley would be alive. But it is literally so absurd that the Biden White House won't answer whether they paid to fly Laken Riley's murderer into America.
Well, actually, they didn't pay. They took taxpayer money to pay, but, you know, yeah, but with apparently no oversight on it. But you've got the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, saying how worried he is. He calls the southern border dangerous. He talks about ISIS. But here in this Biden parole program, which, you know, frankly, I can't believe that, you know, that I didn't know about it. I regret that I didn't know. Is they actually went out and got 320,000 people and won't tell us anything about it, won't tell us what cities there are, and we're paying for it, and we have no idea whether they're vetted. And we have no idea if they have any legitimate right to asylum.
Are you just completely, absolutely sick to your stomach yet? Greta Van Susteren with Senator Ted Cruz. The White House says or claims that the people flown over on this program had to go through a long process to be chosen and had to fill out a laundry list of paperwork, and that this took months or maybe even years for them to be cleared. I have a very good friend who's a longtime White House correspondent. She's worked for multiple networks over the years, has a lot of access, and she tells me that some of the narrative is not correct based on the White House information. But why don't they tell us all about it? After meeting with the president and prime minister of Poland at the White House yesterday, President Biden, as I mentioned, is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin today for a campaign event. Prior to that event, he'll be delivering remarks about
Bidenomics is about building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up,
and how his administration is creating good-paying jobs after taking away a lot of good-paying jobs. And this is pretty interesting. The White House announcing a new push today to prevent opioid overdoses, telling Americans to buy a quick and effective over-the-counter nasal spray called Naloxone. The FDA made it available without a prescription. It's also available in an injector pen like Narcan to help someone recover from an opioid overdose. Costs about $45, but the government is also going to be giving away a bunch of it to organizations in an effort to help save lives. In the big picture, it's a good thing. I'm sure it works, but anytime the government is promoting a pharmaceutical and telling everyone to buy it, it does make me suspicious of who is making money from it, right? And speaking of money, on Wall Street, stocks opened in the green. We'll see what happens for the rest of the day. A company called Emergent BioSolutions is the company that manufactures the naloxone. So keep an eye on that and maybe do some research of who's heavily invested in it. You can keep up with all the news today and every day on Newsmax. It's available on most major cable systems, as you know, and make sure you're getting the new Newsmax Plus. Simply go to newsmaxplus.com. You can also sign up for a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts, like The Balance with Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly Reports, Rob Schmidt Tonight, Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, Bianca De La Garza, Wake Up America, and more. It also includes great analysis from people like Governor Mike Huckabee, KT McFarland, Carrie Lake, Alan Dershowitz, and more. NewsmaxPlus.com. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you, as always, for checking out the Newsmax Daily. Enjoy the rest of your day and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.